That was a signal to Cheeto.
For what?
That we are now beginning.
Uh-huh.
See, before, this is going to be very confusing, because he might put in a whole fake beginning that we did. We did a fake beginning that wound up failing. Now we're succeeding in our fake beginning. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
No, I don't think I am, unless this is like the inception of fake beginnings. So
this
before,
is the inception of fake beginnings. We fucked up the fake beginning first.
Right, the beginning second, where we knew that we were already pretending that we were not doing a thing that we were really doing.
Second, we're seeming to be somewhat shitty at our second attempt.
I feel like we're actually being shitty at our second attempt. That part is true.
The only way that we can begin is if I say, this episode of the Justin Robert Young podcast is brought to you by fucking nobody. Normally I roll this bad bitch solo. There's one episode we did of the Jury Podcast not too long ago that so many people
on our first day, showed up right at 8.
You know, really, really good feedback on, and that is our big Edge of Tomorrow podcast that was co-piloted by one Brett the Amtrak Aroundsville. Yeah. So Brett rejoins us. How you doing?
Good. I feel like technically I'm on this show every single time that we're both in Oakland at the same time.
It's a fairly good point. Considering we are very rarely in the same place at the same time, which made it laughable that we tried to do a podcast regularly.
Right.
That was a really dumb idea.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight.
Yeah. Considering.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good idea for us to be doing stuff and recording it. Right.
Yeah.
It was a bad idea to think that we would ever be within 5 feet of each other to record a podcast.
I think we do technically have some really funny, like, recorded phone conversations somewhere.
We do. That was another idea, and it kind of went nowhere. But we're here now. That's all that matters. We're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff, man. We got a smorgasbord of topics here for you, including I got a letter that's part of the reason why I wanted Brett to come in here, because it's very Brett-centric, very Amtrekker in need of advice kind of material here. We're also going to talk about the Antichrist. I saw someone do heroin last night. And we're going to preview no less than 6 topics that are upcoming. We have all sorts of amazing topics that are happening in life right now. And we're going to cover each and every one of them. But first, I want to talk about Sam Pepper. And for those of you, Brett, what do you know about this Sam Pepper shenanigans?
I know almost nothing. I know really high-level headline stuff. I know that he is a YouTube guy who pulls pranks and quotes, and that he did something really bad, may or may not have been to a woman. That's the sum total of my knowledge. It may or may not be right.
That's all you know. That is your knowledge of Sam Pepper. So here's how I can explain to you what Sam Pepper is into right now. He does these videos, which apparently are their own genre. He is not alone in these kind of very much from the perspective of a kind of lonely adolescent male for whom women, pretty women, let's say in particular, are space aliens. So reacting to them in a way that's just like, oh my God, look, I scared this zoo. This beautiful peacock zoo creature. How funny is that? And that's kind of the stuff that he's done. So he's like lassoed women. He's handcuffed himself to women. And in this video, he has a big hoodie, right? This is the video that he's gotten him in trouble.
Okay.
He's got a fake arm. His real arm. That little scamp. In the hoodie. Asks a lady for directions. Kind of reaches out with his real hand, unbeknownst to her. Does what was colloquially referred to in a bygone America as a goosing. Just a little pant.
Uh-huh.
Right on the bum.
Uh-huh.
These women, for whom have, by the classical definition of what we in the business like to call the law, have been assaulted.
Right.
React negatively.
Yeah, on account of they were assaulted.
On account of the fact that they were, in fact, assaulted. And so he's looking, pointing behind him like to somebody. It's like, oh, man, that guy fucking pinched you in the butt. Look at that. But he's British. So he's like, oh yeah, he's pinching the butt. Oh, like,
did he now?
I'm just saying, Pepper. pinch me in the butt. So he does two videos. One of him pinching girls' butts, and then apparently another one of girls pinching guys' butts. And then here's where the trouble kind of starts for young Sam. Sam-wise. Sam has a letter written about him by somebody who's local here. He's a friend of me and Ashley's, Lacey Green. Lacey Green does a sex education vlog, very popular, called Sex Plus. She writes this open letter on Tumblr that's like, so by the way, this isn't funny. It's really bad. You should stop doing it. The tone of the initial letter
that fairly, she wrote,
she writes, is very like respectful up top. Like we like it's very hard to build a successful channel. You have an extraordinarily successful channel. You should be proud of it. But please know that these videos are damaging on a lot of societal levels. She makes these points a lot better. And I'm not interested in necessarily having the argument on whether, you know, where her letter ranks in terms of what people want to believe about it. I thought it was a very well-written letter. However, the world starts falling down around Sam Pepper. All these other YouTube people start coming out of the woodwork. And as far as big names go, it is a who's who of YouTube. Which, for guys like you and me, men in their early 30s, it's like hearing about, oh, well, all the top Japanese pop sensations are in on it. Kayamoto-san. It's like listening to a Stefan sketch.
Right.
It's like all the top YouTubers signed it. Hannah Hart. Cheese and Kittens. The Dick Brothers. Like, it's, I have no idea who these people are, but I am led to believe that if I click on their names, they have a billion followers, right? And the few that I do know, like Hannah Hart, My Drunk Kitchen, and...
Oh, that was a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So, there are very popular people that are, that respond to this, and Sam gets banned from VidCon, which is kind of like the big YouTube convention. And is said by another channel.
You ever by watch who? Those, who ban- who's in
the,
charge?
The VidCon organizers. The powers that be. They just said, you can't come? They're like, hey, people who do pranks about assaulting women, not invited.
Wow.
De-invite him.
Yeah.
Right? He was also a regular on those YouTubers React videos. It's like the kids react, people react. They have a YouTubers React thing. They're like, yeah, by the way, no more of that. Which, we're going to move right on. We don't need to stop here.
Yeah.
But this is the point in which I want everybody to take out their notebooks in which everybody notes everybody's behavior at all time and say, this dude definitely fucking was lassoing ladies and handcuffing himself to them. And then this one, listen, better the decision be made sooner rather than later.
Right.
But obviously nobody's really paying attention to these things until it becomes a major thing.
Right.
We can move right on. At this point, he goes into what I'm going to assume to be damage control mode and releases a video that says, gotcha! Which when you are being accused of videotaping assault, it is a bold gambit. A bold gambit right. to pull the like, ha ha, you've all fallen into my trap. Like,
finally, I've raised awareness.
Exactly. He pulls the I raised awareness gambit. So he says, by the way, a lot of you calls it the reveal. The reveal. The reveal is that he indeed has been setting us all up. This is a social experiment. and he wanted, like, people reacted very negatively, and that's what he wanted. Because he, Sam Pepper, is not just a mere prankster. He is indeed somebody who makes you think. His words.
Think.
Not mine.
Think odd.
Makes you think about your life. Turn it up and down a little bit. He says that a friend of his was in a relationship. And at this point in his video, I shit you not, Full House, fucking piano music, important lesson to Kimmy, you know, fucking music comes yeah. up, right? Friend of mine was in a relationship. He was abused physically and mentally.
How related to Russell Brand is he?
He is, it, to just give you a sense, if Sacha Baron Cohen was 10 years younger uh-huh. and were parod- and was parodying the aughts or the tens, right? And not the late 90s, early 2000s, he would be a character. Like, it's shocking that he is not a Sacha Baron Cohen character.
That he's right? actually a human
that
being.
That he's actually a human being.
Yeah.
So he says a friend of his was abused by his lady, and he wants to raise awareness about how abuse happens to everybody. Also, he's found it offensive that female fans of his have pinched his butt in public scenarios. And he wanted to let everybody know that he's uncomfortable with it. At which point, we're talking about this on the after show of Night Attack. And Mitzula, a brilliant man and fan of the show, writes in the chat room, my favorite summation of his argument, which is, my friend tripped over his girlfriend's purse. So I made this video where I motorboat random women. So the key point, to be fair to him, is he is saying in that video that everybody in the video was an actress mm-hmm. who was scripted. They knew what was going on.
Okay.
None of that has really panned out. Like, it's not like there's been a rush of, like, all the actresses saying, like, yeah, no, we were...
Have there been a rush of people saying, like, no, I was not an actress?
I don't think that much has kind of happened on gotcha. That front. And I don't think anybody's hunted them down. I don't think that they have come forward.
Right.
Right?
Because they're probably strangers.
In the concept of the video, they are indeed strangers on right. the street. So here's where things get interesting. The world begins further falling
right.
down around Sam Pepper's ankles. There come forth multiple on-camera sexual assault claims from women that say that, like, he was very sexually forward, forced sex on them, grabbed them inappropriately. And one, not, like, on-camera, but the lady is, like, mouth down, right? Straight up rape allegation.
What?
Yeah. The R word.
Yeah.
Right? More so than that, anal rape allegation. The worst of all rapes.
Because there are levels.
I mean, I'm not saying...
You're saying a little bit.
Do
but there's
your own
levels.
Rankings. My personal rankings, for which I'm entitled to.
Right.
The worst of all.
Yeah, definitely.
At which point, this is very dark.
Yeah.
But it's dark for a reason. I'm telling you this story in a somewhat comedic context. because I want to read to you Sam Pepper's Twitter. Now, understand that this guy is being accused of very serious illegal things. His career as a YouTuber is falling apart, dissolving as if acid rain was washing over it. And meanwhile, Lacey releases another video saying that YouTube is considering stringent guidelines that you can get banned from the platform for life based on these incidents.
Yeah.
This is all that's happening. I now bring you to Sam Pepper's Twitter.
I just had a great realization that we'll go into as soon as you start reading these.
So this is in the middle of him defending his situation, right? This is September 23rd. Just to let people who are confused know, all people in this video gave prior consent to acting in the experiment. Later on September 23rd, the world's swirling around him. Why do colds exist? Really? He's so desperate to get him back to normalcy. He's just like, I'm not a rapist. I didn't sexually assault those women.
Right.
But for real, you guys, can we all agree that runny noses are just the worst?
The worst. So it's like rape, anal rape, colds. But here, I think we're actually missing something with this Twitter. I think this is not unlike some of my favorite things, like the fortune cookie in bed, or even better, Neil deGrasse Tyson's Plebeians.
Yes,
I think there's a piece of information we're missing.
You add on a little suffix to anything.
Right. And so looking at this screen now, I can see all of Sam Pepper's Twitter feed from September 23rd to about September 26th. And it's very clear that the last four words that are not included on every one of these tweets is, I'm not a rapist.
Yes.
So so if we could just reread these.
Okay.
Why do colds exist? Really, I'm not a rapist.
I'm not a rapist.
Yeah.
I'm not a rapist.
Really, I'm not a rapist.
I believe his cat, or no, his pug has a Twitter account called Sir Chinston. Glad to be home with little Sir Chinston. I missed him.
I'm not a rapist.
All right.
There's a really good one if we go a little bit further. I think it was towards September.
Now,
here it is.
Now, here's something else that happened. Now, meanwhile, amongst all these, Lacey, who again has been the ringleader of all this, starts getting emails from Sam at sam-pepper.co.uk.
Right.
Which is his website and would seem to be his personal email saying, like, you're fucking going to pay for this. You better shut the fuck up. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen to you, but know that it'll be bad. And then replies, hey, guys. And this is actually what's written. Someone is spoofing my email address and sending people emails from an account I haven't used in years. Be aware! And then links the Wikipedia definition of spoofing.
I'm not a rapist.
All right.
I like that. So if we just remove some of these punctuations, it's be aware, I'm not a rapist.
Yes.
Really, I'm not a rapist. And my personal favorite, how is it only 10 a.m. and I'm already at 44% battery on my phone? Come on, I'm not a rapist.
I'm not a rapist.
Come on, I'm not a rapist.
Come on, guys. I'm not a rapist. In case anybody's been wondering, I'm not a rapist.
And one just above that. Friday, I'm not a rapist.
It's just Friday. I'm not a rapist. 7 a.m. waking up in the morning. Not a rapist. It's Friday. And that's the last tweet he has had. Let me just say something right now, and this is not necessarily about Sam Pepper, although I believe that we can draw some correlations, or I have drawn some correlations. And you want to take on this, let's go ahead, since apparently he wants to just react to the world with these fucking, like, 80s comedy cliches of, like, did you ever notice it's 10 a.m. and it's only 44% battery on your phone? What's up with that? Let's go ahead and do a little taking inspiration from Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a rapist. If somebody writes an open letter on Tumblr and what follows is multiple rape allegations, you might be a rapist.
If somebody looks directly into camera and says you're a rapist, you might be a rapist.
If you have gone on Twitter multiple times to change the subject and people keep insisting you're a rapist, you might be a rapist.
If you insist that your rape allegations are all for a good cause, you might be a rapist.
And if your name is Sam Pepper and you've made multiple videos assaulting women, you might be a rapist. We're going to come back with all sorts of funny stuff that don't include rape. Although he is a rapist. Fuck him.
Oh, not according to his Twitter. I am not a rapist.
We are doing Neshcom for the rest of the show. So go ahead and pick it up. It's Mercury Counter by Neshcom. So go ahead and do that. I know. All right. So the never-ending fight with me and the board. I want to make sure that I get the board right and I get my audio levels right. So I understand that apparently there's some confusion here. But hopefully we're back. It seems like our levels are back to where they need to be. And now I'll bring Brett up. But yeah, that's what we are getting some room mic stuff. We'll figure it out. Hopefully we will. Hopefully it's been listenable, because I thought that was really great. Very rarely can you shoot the gap and try to make a subject that dark funny, and I feel like we kind of did. As long as you just make sure that you understand that the humor is based on the fact that this guy's a weasel and a worm.
Oh, totally. And that Jeff Foxworthy makes everything bluer, especially collars.
You might be a rapist. Doodle 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 doodle. I got an email. Email said, "Hey jury, I'm not happy with the current situation where I live, and I'm going to be moving in late October, early November to get my life straightened out. I was just wondering if you had any tips for me in this huge crossroads period of my life. I have no job lined up, but I will be spending a bunch of time in the coming weeks looking, and I have a place to stay when I get there with no debt to my name and a good chunk of money saved up. Thanks for any advice you can give me. I love your show, and it has helped me a lot in this transition period I'm going through." There's only one man I know for whom I can bring in as an expert witness for completely turning his life upside down, and that is Brett the Amtrekker Roundsville. You are the Amtrekker because you left a good job at a major corporation that in many ways was a dream gig. So you could travel the country, and I guess more than one country, because you went up to Canada, right?
Yeah.
And complete a list of goals that you had set out for yourself. So what do you say? Because I'm sure people come to you with like, "Hey, I want to do some crazy stuff because you did some crazy stuff." Like, what advice would you give our emailer here?
Yeah, all the time. And I don't know, how good of advice do we want to give? Because the real advice that I would love to give is significantly less funny. But I have this idea that I ran across throughout my travel. So even before I started traveling and before people started sending me all of their feedback about how much they wanted to do what I was doing, I would still run into people who were doing similar things at similar times. And there's a great saying that everyone knows and loves called, "Not all who wander are lost."
Yeah. Right?
A Tolkien quote. Except most are. So if you were looking at a Venn diagram of those who wander and those who are lost, it is almost a circle.
And by the way, 90% of the people who love that quote are lost.
Yes, and wandering.
Yes.
Right. So not only is it almost a circle, but there are a lot of things that you can run away from that don't disappear. And I think that is the biggest part where those who wander and are lost fail.
So you're saying, like what are the, like, moving geographically.
Yeah.
Once you get over those endorphins of, like, right, I made a change, I did something, you better hope that the things that you felt in the rut about are not just your own personal habits.
Well, yes. And even beyond that, they may not be your own personal habits. They just may be situations that you can't extricate yourself from. And I'm not like, all I'm saying is that geography doesn't solve very many problems. If you're moving for anything other than adventure, then make sure you're moving for the right reasons.
What did you find while you were on the road were the elements of your life that were not based in you know, where you were living in Southern California that you had to realize that you were working on? Because now, because you were out in space.
Yeah.
You were literally like, you had no geography to blame for anything. Everything that was happening was just your own decisions and decision making. Was there anything that you realized like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was just me?
Yeah. Well, most of this comes from me getting ridiculously lucky, right? Like, I left things that I loved behind. So I had, like, a pretty good life going out. What surprised me more than anything was how much of it was the same when I got back. Like, there was no real, like, deep-rooted change to life even after wandering around for 2 years. Like, you still come back.
So you didn't come back as Gandalf the White, and now you have powers, and, like, the world is clearer, and you can just saunter into situations and figure them out any better than you could have when you left.
I had definitely some more life experience, but basically I came back as Brett, better at sleeping in bus stations.
I join you now at the turning of the tide. I am Brett, better at sleeping in bus stations. How bad were you at sleeping in bus
stations? These are my dirty robes.
How bad were you sleeping in bus stations before? Pretty good. But I got better.
Life marches on. That said, I am never not for adventure, and I am all about moving and trying new things, but I'm about trying new things to try new things. If you're trying to run away from something, just make sure you're running away from the right things.
What do you think are the top three problems that follow you? Clingy problems that nobody wants to admit, and we tend to just blame on, like, oh, well, you know, this place I'm at, right?
Yeah.
Well, only if I move to a bigger city, a smaller city, a different city, a city without my family, a city with my family. Like, what are those things that are really the, like, major issues?
The top one that this guy has handled really well, so not an issue at all, is money. Like, money does not stop being a problem if you go somewhere else. Even, like, as we have learned, like, we moved to a giant city where we get paid ridiculous sums to do ridiculous things, but it turns out life costs a ridiculous amount of money to stay here.
Yeah.
And those problems don't go away. If you're bad at that kind of thing, you're gonna be bad at it somewhere else too.
We had the good fortune to move to a up and coming neighborhood.
Yes.
We are very rapidly on the cusp of having the bad fortune of living in an extraordinarily expensive neighborhood as it fucking explodes and blows up. Like, we are past the tipping point of, like, I feel like if you guys, because you guys have looked out for, like, houses to buy and everything, if you guys were to start your thing now, it would just be like, all right, well, we can't even look anywhere around.
Yeah, I feel like we already missed. Like, we could have, what we considered completely out of the realm of our possibilities, like, a year ago, we should have bought. Like, anything that was just ridiculous.
It would have immediately paid off.
Right.
Like,
immediately.
The value, yeah.
Like, by the time we signed paperwork, we could have sold it for more.
Yeah.
Yeah, this neighborhood is getting nuts. However, our work neighborhood, to segue into our next topic.
Yes.
There's more you'd like to add about
moving
across country.
No, no, no. I mean, I guess, like, I think, I do want to finish out our top three.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's,
okay,
for whatever reason, Brett, people have come to this podcast for serious advice about their life. And I have no idea why this has happened. Maybe it's because I have a willingness to discuss these kinds of things on a base level. But for whatever reason, it has, I have no idea why it has become a thing. Money is certainly a huge one.
Yeah.
I would say my first one is insecurity. Baseline insecurity.
Yeah.
About whatever. You know, just not being able to wake up and look yourself in the mirror and Stuart Smalley that shit and be like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and goddamn it, people like me.
Right.
You know, like if that doesn't change and you can't sew yourself to a lifestyle or a city or your family and expect to draw the meaningful self-esteem from there. Although that's oftentimes options 1, 2, and 3 for everybody with low self-esteem.
Right.
Is let me just say, and that's, you know, there's that like that fine line between like, oh, I really like, you know, New York or San Francisco or Chicago. Then there's the one friend of yours that's like Mr. New York or San Francisco or Chicago, and they love it, and they keep talking shit about anything else that's not it. That's my huge red flag for like, I don't know if you like yourself. I think you like a non-human entity for which you can shape and mold in your head more than you like yourself. And if that's the case, your shit's inverted, bro. Like, you need to figure your own self out.
On the upside, that's someone that at least found a place that they like. So that's like a step in the right direction, right?
I mean, but like, but it is that love and hate, right? Where it's like, then all of a sudden some shit goes wrong and they blame the city.
Yeah.
Like, when you involve a non-person, like, object into the conversation, you're only asking for problems.
And that's something that like geeks like us in general are very good at doing, is involving a non-person. So I would even say rounding out the top three is relationships.
Because
the problem is, even if you are great at relationships, but you somehow had bad relationships in the place you're leaving, that means you're really good at finding people who are bad at relationships. And you won't stop being really good at finding people who are bad at relationships.
Also, if you are burning bridges that hard, like if you are, if you have a flamed out in a relationship so spectacularly that you need to leave the city, there are more issues at work than just your relationships.
Yeah.
A bad relationship is not Godzilla. It should not level an entire geographical region useless for you. You know, you should be able to survive.
Yeah.
And now, that's not to say that, like, sometimes change of paint changes everything, right?
There are plenty of good reasons to move and to move far, and I will never shit on someone's desire to try something new and to experience the world. But, again, there are plenty of things that aren't going
to
be fixed.
And Rick Foster saying the biggest reason I left Wisconsin was because of a relationship. Not to say that that's not...
Also because it was Wisconsin.
A little easier to leave Wisconsin when it's... I don't know, motherfucking Wisconsin.
JK.
Milwaukee. Weren't you just in Milwaukee? Or was that Tuesday?
Not recently, but I really like Milwaukee. It's a cool city.
The Midwestern, I don't know. I like hanging out in Midwestern cities.
The key to Midwestern cities is knowing someone from that city. If you can stand out on a grass lawn drinking PBR and throwing horseshoes, then that city wins.
That's a good point. Actually, me and Ashley are looking at like a weekend trip.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just sold myself on Chicago.
Oh.
Because that United, like we totally easy. Get out there for 10.
And lay flat.
No, we got to do it. It's only 2 hours difference. This is the segment we like to call in the show. Justin yells at Ashley who's in a different room. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. All right. We're going to talk about it. We're going to go back. We have this city.
Yeah.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Lake Merritt. Booming. Man, here's how booming this city is.
Can we not tell Tom that it's booming? Can no one tell Tom that Lake Merritt is booming, please?
Tom,
really important that no one tells Tom that Lake Merritt is booming.
Who owns Brett's apartment at this point? So here's a funny story.
I just realized, Lake Merritt blows.
Still a lot of crime here, though.
Oh, really?
Still a lot of crime.
Yeah, the key about Lake Merritt is knowing whether the guy following you is looking for your parking spot or your wallet. Am I right?
So me and Ashley are talking about, like, oh, you know, if Brett and Katie wind up moving out, like, it would be nice to, like, get into their place. Then I'm like, man, if that happened now, though, Like, I feel like I would feel guilty,
yeah,
like, taking that place. Like, I'd be like, no, Tom, you're a friend. You need to, like, make a ton of money by selling this immediately because you're going
to
sell it.
Well, I don't want to get into that. But bottom line.
So that's
selling is not the right move for them, but renting at higher rates is.
That is a great illustration of how amazing this neighborhood in Lake Merritt is. We went, it's like fucking friends now. Me, yeah, and Ashley fucking go down to a coupled own wine store.
Bay
and
we Grape.
Just talk, and it's fucking like loose, and it's a, yeah, fun time. We stay after hours. It's hilarious and amazing. Not so for another neighborhood in San Francisco, and I will tell that story next.
Two neighborhoods that we frequent.
Make it better, dead on arrival.
I came back from, fuck, where did I come back from? Dallas. I was in Dallas. And I decided to come back to Oakland. And so the next day I got to go into the city. So I go into the city. Turns out my buddy Steve, fellow Syracuse graduate, is living in the Mission. Syracuse, the football team, is playing on TV, national television. So I figure, all right, I'll make plans with him. Go watch Syracuse get their shit kicked out of them by Notre Dame. And then I'm walking back to my car. Brett, how would you describe the area, which is where our office is for the Go game, in San Francisco? How would you describe that street?
I don't think the street is worth describing more so than the game we all love to play. Is that dog feces or human feces?
That's certainly a fair game.
Yeah.
A game that you have ample opportunities to play.
Ample.
Especially in the summer. And we are moving into kind of peak hobo territory.
Yeah, September is beautiful weather nonstop in San Francisco.
Yeah. And because San Francisco has a tendency to get cold at any time during the year. Mm-hmm. So, like, September is the only time where it doesn't. You know, it's pretty much just straight, no sweater, gorgeous, all day, every day. And thus, the homeless come out. And this is a street that is three blocks off a district in San Francisco that is renowned for its authenticity, which also kind of means it's old and dirty.
Right.
But it's real.
Yeah, real old and dirty.
Real old and dirty.
We're literally like four blocks from where the Alamo Draft House is trying to build a big new hip West Coast presence.
Which they were, I mean, 6 months after they announced it, mm-hmm, I moved to San Francisco, which has been 2.5 years.
They got the permitting like 3 months ago.
Because it's so fucking hard.
Yeah.
To build in that area because they don't let anything get built that's new because, mm-hmm, they want to keep the things that are old because those are worth more. This is an entire discussion about the retardedness of city planning that we can get into, but we won't. Just know that that's the neighborhood that we're talking about. And therefore, the few blocks off this authentic, real neighborhood tends to be a bit of a blind spot for cops and
largely because this authentic real neighborhood has been very well gentrified over the, yeah, last 4 years or so. So it's pushing all the authenticity three blocks over.
I think you actually stumbled on a great word for it. It's authentic.
It is. It is a lot like that.
It's on the authenticism scale. So this time of year, it tends to be a bit of a fucking carnival of homelessness out there.
Yeah, Hoovervilles. And this is a new thing even this year, where apparently now you are issued a tent when you show up to the city. It's urban camping more than it is homelessness.
It is! So lately, this year, the 2014 edition of Hobopalooza has been particularly interesting in that I have seen there's been a lot more wandering out into the street.
It's like the commercialization of Burning Man in a lot of ways. Like now hobos are building their own businesses centered around their tents.
So like there, I saw a pimp arguing with his whore in the street the other day.
Yeah.
A lot of this happens on Saturdays and Sundays, to be fair.
Right.
Because there's not really a lot of traffic. There's not a lot of cars on the street.
Yeah.
So like the hobos just move in.
What night was it that the football game was on? Because that's where I saw Saturday. Business booming. Saturday.
Wait, like last night? Last night was when everything happened.
Okay.
So I am walking back, and I see somebody right in the front of our door, the office door, a man slumped over leaning against a light pole. And I'm like all right. Do. It's homeless people. They're out on the street. Now, we are getting to, like, the what I will now colorfully coin as the Romero line of where you are cognizant of the fact that there are more of them than you, yeah, like you would in a zombie scenario.
It's kind of a hobo saturation point.
And where it's like, all right, I will need to go into evasive maneuvers if they all chase me at once.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm kind of noticing, and they have their tent cities.
I can't open the office door fast enough. I have to take a different route.
So I'm not even going to go into the office. I'm just going to go right into my car. Now, this is not as bad. I'm thinking, easy. Because another time, about 2 weeks ago, there was a homeless man sleeping with his head literally under my exhaust pipe.
No way.
And I'm like, here's a fun choice.
Yeah.
Do I wake the possibly unstable homeless man to move so I don't fucking like start my car and blow exhaust right in his face?
Yeah.
Do I just blow exhaust in his face? Because at that point, if he's awake and unstable, at least I'm locked in my car. So I tried to shoot the gap and just slam my car door really loud. And he was like, oh, okay. And he kind of moved away. I'm like, all right, there's none of that awkwardness. It's just a guy. He's not even by the back of the car. He's kind of in front of it.
Yeah.
In fact, he's kind of right in front of my headlights. So I get into my car. I turn on my car. My headlights automatically go on. And I see this man is slumped up against the light pole because he's literally injecting heroin in front of me. He's got a heroin needle sticking out of his arm. I have never seen this in my life. I've seen people do rails of cocaine. I've seen them do acid, ecstasy. I've seen them drink to excess. I have seen dangerous levels of intoxication and a panoply of fucking drugs being ingested. I've never seen in my life anybody doing heroin in front of me until last night.
Yeah.
At which point, he fucking slowly turns his head as if a dinosaur from Jurassic Park to look at me and just go, what's up, bro? I'm just doing heroin. Like, I feel like what you looking at, dick nose? That's what the look he gives me is, what's your fucking problem? I'm just lying on the street doing heroin.
And bear in mind, this is like 3 feet from the door of a multi-million dollar company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, not even 3 feet. He could have kicked his leg out and hit our door. Like, he was only by the way that he was sitting made him not touch the fucking door.
So he was sitting on the ground.
Literally, like, if you were to just draw straight lines out of, like, the doorway, his torso, or, like below his torso, his legs would be in those lines.
Wow.
Literally in front of the door. Not figuratively.
Right.
Multi-million dollar company.
Yeah.
Doing something silly, like slinging fucking scavenger hunts. Yeah. This dude riding the white pony on a Saturday night. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y night. Doing heroin. On fucking Treat Street.
That's so crazy. Like, that street has just gotten crazier and crazier. Like, as bizarre as that is, like, it's kind of out of my realm of understanding because I didn't see it happen. But what blows my mind is that it's not just homelessness anymore. They've built it to a new level of, like, what's, like, businesslessness. Like, there are people running, like, businesses.
So you, I didn't even notice this. Apparently,
how do you not notice
it? Bicycle chop shop.
It's either a chop shop. I would suspect a chop shop on account of there are a lot of nicely newly painted bikes there in pieces.
Yeah.
Like spray painted black or whatever.
Yeah.
But even if it's not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a legitimate business or not. All that matters is that these guys, no joke, 100% not exaggerating, between the two of them, own more things than I do. Their inventory is greater than the actual bike shop that is across the street from them.
There's a literal bike shop right across. They're competing
20 feet from them is an actual bike shop that has a smaller inventory than two guys living in a tent on the street. It's businesslessness.
Theater Monkey says, but the real question, how much is the rent? For free.
Yeah, it's
move
free.
Move to Treat Street. They have their own chamber of commerce. They're passing out leaflets. If you were homelessness here, you'd be homelessness by now. We're back with our fall preview. Neshcom.
No. Oh, because Brian is balling. No. So you don't care how much it is.
Because you don't care what the price is, right?
White people rich.
Firebrushed wood.
White people rich. White people rich. White people rich. White people rich. White people rich.
Firebrushed wood.
White people rich. White people rich.
What?
White people rich.
Firebrushed wood.
White people rich. White people rich.
What?
White people rich.
Firebrushed wood.
White people rich. Guys living in Texas. Buy girls.
Shit. All right. We have a lot of opinions.
Sure.
We have a lot of expert opinions, and we are going to bring them to you to let you guys, you the dear listener, live a better life. You ain't out here to fuck around. We already gave you advice on when and why to move. Gave you advice on where to be homeless. Gave you advice about how to spot rapists in your daily life.
Now here's a hint. They do it on YouTube already. You don't have to look hard.
No. If multiple people are calling you a rapist, you might be a rapist. We are going to give you the fall preview. Fall entertainment preview. So let's go ahead and start. I'm just going to start you off with something that I know you are the expert in. Saturday Night Live, 40th anniversary.
Yeah, exciting.
Big year. Seems like the first year out of a rebuilding year for them. They kind of blew up the cast. They had to deal with a lot of change. This should be a better year, a more consistent year than last year.
Yeah.
What was your thought on the premiere and going forward? Who are the people to watch?
It seems they chose to rebuild their rebuilding year, which is probably a good choice on their part. There are a couple of cool
reboot.
Guys. A reboot. Guys to look out for, there's a new SNL Weekend Update host who didn't do an amazing job, but, I mean, it's his first time. Can't fault him for that. And then there was two people who both did segments on Weekend Update that were great. I don't remember their names. I don't know that you do.
No, I don't.
I think it was Lillian something, and then Pete was the dude's name. He was a kid, like a
young white guy, normal aged black lady.
Normal aged. That's good. Yeah, and Chris Pratt did a like fairly disappointing job. I think we watched a couple of skits beforehand, but you didn't really see much of Chris Pratt.
You shouldn't call them digital shorts if they're not going to be as good as Lonely Island.
You shouldn't
do like them. Just call them something else.
Don't do them if they're not going to be good. That's yeah. I feel like that's a good rule of thumb. Like if they're not funny,
well,
don't.
No, they kind
of
have to because they want to make the YouTube viral thing. Right.
They can do that with the skits they already do. It's not like it's not being taped.
Can they?
The stuff that's going around today is that Pete Dudes thing.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, like, well, I mean, that will always be like, oh, look what they did on SNL.
Yeah.
Which is the digital shorts are always supposed to be like, oh, these could just be YouTube videos. Because here's a mind-blowing idea.
Yeah.
They got guys who were doing successful YouTube videos to just do them for SNL.
Right. I don't know. What was Kyle Mooney doing before? He was, like, he, in my opinion, is the problem here, and I hate to call people out. But he has this weird
call
shtick.
Out. Strong takes.
No,
we
just
have
has
hot
this,
takes here.
I don't have hot takes. That's
hot
not,
takes.
I'm not a hot take guy.
Hot takes.
But I'm not a big fan of the, like, bad actor
That's
shtick.
You. You're blowing it up right now, Brett.
With a hot take.
Your hot takes. You're dropping
bombs.
Not
a hot take guy, bro.
Dropping bombs.
So, like, the thing that, like, Lonely Planet brought was, one, they had the knowledge
no,
of the
Lonely
space.
Lonely Island. Lonely Planet's the other thing.
No, Lonely Planet, because they like to travel.
They're
and
also
then,
the
and
travel
then they
bloggers.
Write about it, and then they write about it, and then they make a song about traveling on their boat. I was there. I saw it all. Lonely Island. So, anyway, they brought, like, these, like everything was a little bit different. The ones that hit the biggest were usually their musical pieces, but they had, like, this broad spectrum of things that they like to do. What the Kyle Mooney's digital shorts are largely doing is the same thing over and over and over again. And it wasn't that funny the first time when your shtick is just, hey, I'm a really bad actor doing this thing that other bad actors do to make fun of bad acting.
Disappointing.
Super disappointing.
Very
especially
disappointing.
This week's one after they had like an entire summer to think about.
I feel like that's always their undoing though.
Yeah.
Is like have you ever listened to interviews about like how sketches go wrong or the negative elements of the SNL writers room?
Yeah.
It's always stories of the incessant over perfection and like the hierarchy getting in the way of just like a fresh original idea that will either live or die.
Yeah.
Which to that point, that digital short is a seemingly uncluttered idea. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Not like a hat on a hat. It's just a really bad hat.
Like, it just is yeah. People are saying, like, how long did Laser Cats go? Laser Cats was fucking really funny. I mean, maybe it was really funny the first time. I think it kind of got annoying after a couple years.
I was not a huge fan of Laser Cats.
Not a huge fan of Laser Cats. All right.
Next fall preview.
We're going to go ahead and preview movies based on posters. All right. These are movies that are coming out in a theater near you. Look at this. This is Jimmy. All is by my side. It's just Jimi Hendrix, Andre Benjamin of Outkast, and then a bunch of ladies kind of in his neck. What do you think about that poster there?
I think ladies in the neck already says Oscar bait, but I also think that it's going to get stepped on by the James Brown movie that just came out. Like, I feel like
you think that's going to, but that's not Oscar bait.
No, it's that, not
they,
Oscar
they,
bait.
They screwed up with the James Brown movie, not releasing it in fall.
I think it's still so
that's
close,
that's when people
though.
Want to listen to music that came out a million
during the
years
fall.
Ago.
They
yeah.
want to listen to it during fall? No, I think that it's still going to work under that umbrella, right? I think people are still going to be like, oh, I saw this movie 3 months ago.
But this is, I mean, like Jimi Hendrix. There's only so many like rock gods that you can like win Oscars by portraying them and pretending to sing like them.
Side note, I've seen a plaster cast of that man's penis.
The famous plaster cast of Jimi Hendrix's dick?
Is it famous?
Oh, yeah. No. They were like the famous groupies, the plaster casters that were
yeah,
like,
it was one lady, I think.
Yeah.
Was, yeah.
For whatever reason, I knew it was one lady and her friend or whatever. But
oh,
like,
gotcha.
Yeah, no, that they were the plaster casters and they would like do plaster casts of rock stars' dicks.
Yeah. So the guy who's in charge of like all of the Hard Rock Cafe paraphernalia works out of the Hard Rock Cafe resort in Las Vegas. And that hangs in his office, or at least it did at the time I saw it.
Huh. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at Two Night Stand. Ashley Tipton and Miles Teller, two young white people sitting in bed, eating out of bowls, laughing. She seems to find him funny. He seems to be looking at a bird out of his window.
And clearly neither of them have cancer, so... Fault in Our Stars wins again.
Here we go. People are actually asking to look at these posters. All right, so there we go.
Cry babies.
Two Nightstand. So you think that? So that, listen, we did this really successful show that Jeff Cannata fucking loved about, like, you know, the franchising of the Groundhog Day thing. What do you say we franchise cancer?
Yeah.
What movies can we do? Rocky with cancer.
Oh, that'd be really good. Who has the cancer?
What's going to win first?
Wait, didn't Rocky... wasn't the newest one Rocky with cancer? Didn't Adrian die of cancer?
She was dead by the time the movie started.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So who has, like, cancer, him or his son? Is he fighting against cancer or against the idea of cancer?
All right. Real quick. Pause. So United's got these movies that you play just on your phone for free, and they got a bunch of 30 for 30s on there.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. I've been going through The Iron Man.
And so I watched
cancer.
The Iron Man with cancer. It's like, oh, man, I'm in the Iron Man suit, but it's giving me cancer.
Actually, I guess that's kind of Iron Man too, right?
But they fucking pussed out.
Palladium poisoning.
What fucking people want. What the people want is cancer.
Yeah, they need a nose hose or nothing.
That's it.
Yeah.
So they put, speaking of cancer, the... I forget his name now. It's called Into the Wind. The one about the Canadian who has one leg.
Cyclist?
No, he has one leg and he's running across Canada.
Okay.
And, like, he becomes, like, a Canadian folk hero. And, it's just like a major thing, and I have now can tick off my life box crying in first class.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I mean, spoiler alert, it's about a guy with cancer. Guess how it ends? Like, it's fucking heartbreaking. It's really, really well done. It was directed by Steve Nash, the fucking basketball player, but it was great. It was really, really well done. And you can watch it on United Play. Fox, people are saying.
Side note to the side note, how are you liking the United streaming content stuff?
Oh my God. Like, it blows my fucking mind that everyone has not done this forever.
And it's so smart because all of the devices are only going to get better. You're not locking them into the back of the seat.
Take that fucking bullshit screen out of every goddamn thing. They can make everything cheaper. Yeah. Like, but here's why United's actually smart. And, like, this is kind of going to sound like us blowing United. Which they suck for a million other different reasons. Like, don't worry. Like,
airlines are universally bad.
Everything you think negative about United is actually true. They were really smart in playing a longer game of let's be the shitty airline that doesn't have Wi-Fi for years.
Yeah.
While everybody else just went with GoGo.
Yeah.
And installed all their shit in there. Let's build our own
contracts now.
Exactly. Let's build our own Wi-Fi. So now, I don't know if you've noticed, they have the variable pricing. Mm-hmm. It's not always the same. So it looks like they're just doing, like, testing on, like, what people really want.
I was on
pay.
One flight that was like a dollar an hour.
Yes, that was smart. Hourly pricing. Fucking who knew? Because this makes sense.
And, like, even at their highest price points, they're cheaper than GoGo.
They are. So, like, they're experimenting with it, and this is easily the smartest thing. You've got everybody on Wi-Fi. It's a closed network. You don't have to worry about streaming shit. You just have them. It's, like, crystal clear HD, like, free content that you would basically be giving away anyway. And a lot of it's like a good-ass movie you'd find on Netflix is usually, like, one of them. So it's, like... Yeah. Zombieland, League of Their Own, like
all the Iron Man,
Oh wait, all of them?
Yeah,
you saw three on there?
Yeah.
Holy shit! Really?
Yeah. God and damn. Then I moved on to Men in Black 3. Not as good as the Iron Man movies,
but it's like.
But here's
worth it for free.
But the awesome thing. So who made the biggest splash with all of the on screen or in flight content and Wi-Fi?
Virgin.
Virgin, of course. And now Virgin's shit, old and busted. Like, their interface is terrible now that we're all used to interfaces and what they should look like. Yeah. And now United has done this thing where the interface is an app on your own goddamn device. Like, they can update it in the app store every week.
Yeah. And it can always
look
good.
So smart.
By the way, the Virgin interface kind of looked like poo-poo. Like, even when it was, like, the hotness. It was just awesome for...
Awesome that it existed.
Awesome for airlines. It was always graded on a curve. Right. And now kind of United's got the belt, man. Like there's nobody else that's doing like free movies on your phone.
Yeah. The only bummer is lately I've had a lot of flights where like either you get this awesome experience or you get nothing. And then also like power drain is a big thing. If they don't get outlets on all their seats soon, especially if they're going to make you watch stuff on your own device, and that's going to be a bummer.
It's a good point. Probably is not as good for people who don't constantly get upgraded to first class and or carry batteries because they're literally on the road for fucking forever.
Carry a backup battery for your phone and two laptops that are fully charged on every flight. Like every flight, I've taken out my laptop and just plugged the phone back into that. Oh, and also it does a really good job of picking up where you left off. You can switch to the laptop and it'll just like sync up with where you left off on your phone.
For real?
Yeah.
Fall TV. Is there anything you're excited about with fall TV?
Have you taken a look at Gotham yet?
I've taken a look at it. I haven't watched it. It's like every time it has me.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm watching it. I'm like, oh shit. Like, cause I loved Rome.
So
which
you
is
watched
what,
like a stretch of it?
No, I just watched like commercials and, and like clips online or whatever. And I loved Rome. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch Rome?
No.
Rome was great on HBO. Same showrunner. I'm like, oh wow. Like a Rome-esque. Because it's like, you look at Rome, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I wonder if this dude has a, like, a history of dealing with mythology, but writing his own stories in it. I don't know. He did it with fucking ancient Rome. I think he can handle Commissioner Gordon, right? Yeah. So it's like, he has the pedigree. It looks like he has the talent. The actor, all the acting seems to be, by the reviews, steady. What shakes me out is just, and I'm sure it's fucking some note from the network that it's like, you can't just have somebody named Oswald Cobblepot. You have to have somebody go, hey, penguin guy, someone should say, you're a penguin. And he should go, mack, 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 I don't know. I might be a penguin. And then just do the rest of the script. Because, like, that's what, like, whenever I see that, I'm like, I'm in. I'm so out.
It's funny that you not even having seen it came to that same conclusion. Because I watched the entire first episode, and it's, like, minus those things, a solid, like, network procedural.
Yeah.
Like,
but
not
with
amazing,
Batman,
but
which
good.
Which elevates it, right? Right. Because you'd rather, like, a competent procedural that starred Commissioner Gordon and dealt with just regular crime shit like in Gotham, super rad.
Yeah, and the first episode obviously is going to have like some character introduction and some exposition, but it didn't need as many character introductions as it had. And it was constantly doing the thing where it's like, all right, tell me what this bullet casing is all about, Nigma. And then he's like, all right, blah, 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 blah. All right, see you later, Edward. You're a weirdo who likes riddles too much. And like, that's that. So it's like always trying really hard to not be introducing people by being like, hey, Oswald, why don't you come on over here and bring your umbrella? Bloop, 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 bloop. Cobblepot, you're such a penguin. And you're like, oh, come on. Like, breaking into two doesn't make it better. It's still a heavy-handed, awkward thing. And it would have been so much better served by having that exact same character doing the exact same things and not even giving him a name this episode.
Well, and that's – it's where kind of Marvel has been smart.
Mm-hmm.
Let the nerds explain it to the straights.
Right.
Fucking, they did Howard the Duck in the most popular movie of the year.
Yeah.
And all the neck beards, like fucking me and Brett, leaned over to the fucking actual contributing members of society that fucking make the world run and don't give a fuck about this shit and said, hey, that was Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck was a comic, but then it was a movie.
So, it's the first Marvel movie ever. It was directed by George Lucas in 1980.
It was produced. Everybody thinks it's directed by George Lucas, but it was just produced. But I was thought that it was like a really bad movie. So they're just like saying, oh, hey, we're Marvel. Now we're good. So, like, you'd rather know that that's what
I don't care. Was it Stan Lee or not?
It's fine. Let us do it. Let us lean over to our girlfriends. Not to be sexist. Let the girlfriends lean over to their boyfriends and say, that's the Penguin. He's. Member of the
or
Penguin.
Don't let me wonder. And that, like, DC has done some awesome TV for like The Arrow is a really solid show on CW that doesn't do that shit. Like, you can watch it for an entire season and then find out like, oh, that's,
but the
trade off
is
that
it does it is just like dipped in CW, right?
Where, oh, for sure, it's a CW
just got abs,
show.
Like,
It's a CW show.
Shots
with low
of abs with the green arrow and the flash mask over his abs, and he's just like, these abs run really fast.
To be fair, if you erased all of the DC from Arrow and all of the DC from Gotham, Gotham is probably a better show just watching this one episode.
Yeah.
But you can't erase it. Instead, they're introducing a character every other minute.
And what? So they introduce Catwoman, Riddler, Penguin, whoever the fuck Jada Pinkett Smith is, Commissioner Gordon.
Jada Pinkett Smith was in it?
Isn't she?
Oh, is she? Okay, she might be one of the Carmine Falcone people. And
yeah.
He is introduced.
So Carmine, Commissioner Gordon, fucking the other. Harvey Bullock. Harvey Bullock.
Montoya.
Montoya.
Which is
and
really
Montoya is from Batman Year One, right? Or she?
No, I think Montoya is a much older character. Like, she doesn't exist. Well, in the Batman that I read, she doesn't exist until Batman's Batman. She's like a newer hire.
So Year One.
And she's Batgirl's.
Well, I would assume that this
is
drawing a lot of
in a, really weird
a lot of from Year One, which is not in this timeline,
yeah,
or does not sync up timeline wise, but is as much a Commissioner Gordon on this, like, you know, getting his feet story as it is a Batman, getting his feet story.
I think going in, it's going to be more like a Brubaker Gotham Central kind of thing, where it will be a procedural kind of thing. But yeah, so like real quick rundown. Penguin,
yeah.
Riddler,
yeah.
Montoya, Bullock, Gordon.
Which you would expect. I mean, those you would expect, including Carmine. Mm-hmm. That would be, if you're establishing a procedural show, those are just your main characters.
Yeah, Bruce Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Yeah,
all introduced, and then who else? There were more. It was just awful. It was just all the time people were being introduced. It's an hour show, and everyone
and
got
Catwoman, right?
And Catwoman,
yeah, who's like a kid.
And it's the same thing where it's like, hey, girl jumping across the rooftops. Hey, you stole milk. Hey, you gave it to a cat. That's all really cute.
It's just, I hope, I mean, and you can never judge shit by
pilot.
I'm
okay. Don't tell me.
No. I'm just saying in general, you can never judge shit by pilots because pilots
totally
are not
true.
For viewers.
Right.
Pilots are for network suits.
Well, that's
to
in
give
the olden
them...
days. Now pilots are shot to go to air.
No. But to go to air,
right?
You need to prove to the network suits,
yeah,
that because it's like if properties just were greenlit for episodes, mm-hmm. then we would
Which,
have seen
how are
Wonder
we not
Woman.
To that point yet.
We would have
Let
seen
it
Wonder Woman
fail after 13 episodes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that gets into a whole bigger discussion. Thanksgiving dinner. Where are you at on Thanksgiving dinner? What's your the big thing that you look forward to every Thanksgiving dinner?
Don't put this on me. This is definitely your topic. You are itching to talk about your Thanksgiving dinner.
All right, you want
to
rank it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Stuffing, number one.
Really? Oh, number one?
Number one.
Above turkey, above pie.
Above turkey, above pie.
You're a crazy person.
Want to know why? It's the only thing that can change every year. It can be your favorite thing and be slightly different. Good turkey is always going to be good turkey. Good fucking pumpkin pie, apple pie, whatever kind of pie you're really into, is going to be, you want it to just hit a consistent mark.
That's the thing.
Stuffing,
pie, it's a different pie every year.
Okay, well, you can't just fucking put pie.
I can put pie above stuffing. If you get stuffing because it changes, I get pie because it changes, and
but
pie is better than stuffing. Inherently,
stuffing,
I win.
No, pies are just different. You're looking at apple pie, rhubarb pie, fucking pumpkin pie, right?
You like got crust, like, you got filling.
You have crust and filling. I'm saying, more likely, you are to look at something called stuffing. You would call the same thing stuffing, but they could be different enough. Oh, shit. Is that cranberries in there this year?
I don't know what
year?
You're calling pie.
Are they
cranberries?
I don't know.
I call it pie.
Fucking maybe this one
eat it,
is
and
fucking.
It's delicious.
And you can add, also, it gets the fucking, like, if stuffing is Batman, gravy is Robin. And fucking, like, they mix very, very well together. They're solving crimes in your stomach.
Well, here's the thing about stuffing.
Peter Pan is going to be coming to NBC. Christopher Walken is Captain Hook, and Brian Williams' daughter is Peter Pan. She's also the one who doesn't get naked on girls. What do you have
bored
any,
now?
Do you have any interest? So no,
no
interest.
None.
Well, you don't like musicals. You don't like music in general, let alone musicals.
Definitely don't like musicals.
Is there?
And I've seen Peter Pan.
There's
times.
No musical that you enjoy?
No, I like musicals as long as they employ, like, childlike songs. So if there are songs that, like, 5-year-old Brett can follow as well as 33-year-old Brett, then I'm all on board.
Because this
so,
is
like,
the learning Avenue, disability you Avenue have Q. about music.
I do. I have a learning disability
like,
about music.
Like, you don't...
Yeah, I'm musically autistic.
Explain your music block.
I just... It's background noise all the time. It doesn't... Like, there's nothing to explain. It barely exists in my world. And so if a musical is delivering plot through song, I'm always going to miss it.
Musicals. We're talking about the fall preview of your music block.
Yeah. All right.
You told me a story once about driving back to your parents' house yeah. and the radio
yeah.
that blew my fucking mind yeah. and illustrates perfectly your music block. Do you okay. know what I'm talking about?
I probably, yeah.
You left the radio, like not static, like yeah. songs.
Radio was on in L.A. and I drove 3 hours.
And you drove 3 hours to Fresno.
Yeah.
Or the outskirts of Fresno, right. wherever. And you, when you got to the house was only when you realized that the music was on.
Right.
You had listened to music the entire time without in any way acknowledging that like...
Oh, no, it's deeper than that.
Okay.
Do you not... Like I started to turn the car off. I put it in park and I was like, oh, the radio is playing static. Because
oh.
I had left with it playing music
gotcha.
And driven an undiscernible amount of miles and then it started playing
it
static.
It left the
and
LA radio station.
Never registered in my brain.
All right. We read your emails and then wrap this gigantic double-sized edition of the Jury Podcast up right after we play yet another edition from Neshcom's Mercury Counter album. Go ahead and buy that somewhere. It's awesome. This one comes in from Russell. Russell says, just wanted to throw my 2 cents in about Elevator Gate. After reading up on it a bit, I think Rebecca Watson's expectation that somebody can't even ask her to drink coffee with another person if they're of the opposite gender is a little ridiculous, and it makes her sound like a misanthropic hermit who clearly doesn't understand or recognize genuine humor and human interactions. If the world worked how she wanted to, we'd probably go extinct due to the lack of ever being able to make connections with anybody simply because she views normal interactions as unwanted sexual advances. I believe the phrase no means no or don't even dare ask. I think if she wants to avoid any male attention, including non-aggressive attention from men, she should probably carry a sign around or something that makes it clear to the world. That said, the gender-based scathing responses she received, along with the harassment and threats, were infinitely worse than anything she said or thought, and everyone involved should be deeply ashamed of themselves. Disagree, even insult her, and call her a misanthrope if you're a jerk like me, but don't harass, intimidate, or threaten her, because that's never okay.
You know what falls under the category of harass, intimidate, or threaten? Getting punched out in an elevator.
No, wait. You're thinking of a totally different elevator gate.
JK.
You're thinking of the Ray Rice elevator gate.
This JK.
This is a whole other thing in which I'll explain to you later. But yeah, this, I wanted to read this email because it explained something very clear, which is I want to live in a world, and I hope I live in a world, where we can loudly have opinions and disagree with people, but those who loudly have opinions and disagree can also universally condemn, like, threats and harassment and shit.
Punching people in the face in elevators.
Okay, you're caping up for an issue that is totally not where we're at right now. Oh. But thank you very, very much to Russell for this. I disagree with where you're at, but That's the beauty part of the internet. That's the beautiful part about having a community in which we can talk about things, is that I can respectfully disagree and we can both agree that when you get fucking personal and start yelling and screaming shit about, like, you know, killing and raping and murdering people, shit ain't cool.
And no punching people.
And no punching people. Brett's really wrapped up in this. Ken says, I've been thinking about the classic American dream and believe that the classic definition is evolving. New adults, or whatever you call that generation, are less motivated by money. They care less about ownership and are more concerned with pursuing their passion. Guys like Zuckerberg and Notch never set out to make billions of dollars. They just stumbled upon it while following their passion. Even older guys like Bill Gates aren't motivated simply to pursue profit anymore. Effectively, the world is organically becoming more socialist. And then I hit back on the thing. Thank you. The utopian socialism of fanciful dreams, not the swear word that American politicians call each other, simply to pursue profit. That was by Ken. Funny how Zuckerberg and Notch wound up being billionaires despite pursuing profit. Not pursuing profit, according to Ken. I disagree with you, Ken. I don't think that the world is evolving to be a more socialist place. I think that the more we are able to trade with each other and not have to go through somebody else, the better off we all are. But, you know, to each their own.
I don't think the American dream was ever necessarily about profit either. And I think there are always people who have accidentally made a lot of money.
Yeah, I think to me the American dream is about clean slates. It's about, you know, being able to reinvent yourself.
It's about opportunity and freedom.
Yeah. Brian says, dear jury, I enjoy you on every podcast I hear you on and was, of course, happy a while back to hear that you had your own podcast. Goody, I said, I love this guy. Even more jury. But what to my fuckity fucking surprise, jury is a potty mouth. Which, you are definitely a new listener to me and have only listened to me on the Frog Pants Network, if that is a surprise to you. I mean, if you use the word fuck more than once in a sentence and more than 20 times in 5 minutes, it means you are either mentally or verbally challenged or still in high school. Since none of these are true, I can't imagine why an individual as intelligent as you would find the need to curse in such a potty mouth fashion. Fuck, you're saying fuck. Love the show. So,
a lot wrapped up in that email.
It's a lot, right? Here's my line, because a lot of people who have come to listen to this show come from the Frog Pants Network, which in general, you know, is PG-13. It's two shits or one fuck, you know. this tends to be a little bit more graphic on a lot of levels. I mean, I don't think that Scott Johnson would go into "you might be a rapist" as a Jeff Foxworthy bit, right? But I am conscious of the idea that I know fuck for me as a word can be a verbal crutch in the same way that ums and ahs can be a verbal crutch. And I want to avoid that because I do know that that tends to turn off some people, and I don't care about them as devices in language to hammer something home. So for anybody who does feel that I say fuck too much, usually it's an indication that I didn't prepare enough for the show and I'm trying to fill space. If you would like to email us, it is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. You can find the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit. Twitter and Instagram is Justin R. Young. And of course, you can hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Brett, how's Mission Pick doing?
Oh, awesome. We're hiring a new developer who starts tomorrow. So there's going to be a lot of new updates coming out soon. We're still keeping enrollment pretty light, but absolutely, if you're listening to a podcast, go find it on the App Store, iOS. It's Mission Pick, and it's a fun game that's really quaint right now, but it'll get bigger shortly.
It's very awesome. Everybody should go check it out. It is super fun, and it is the sign that it has been sticky in my mind is when I miss a day, I feel like a train has left and I wasn't on it. It is addictive in that way. You should be very, very proud because it is super rad. Everybody go check it out. Download it right now, Mission Pick, on the iOS App Store, and then maybe eventually at some point coming to Android.
Yeah, not in the near future, but probably within the next year.
Tomorrow. It's coming to Android.
Tomorrow. Look for it.
That about wraps it up. Again, folks, we've talked about rapists. We've talked about Peter Pan. We've talked about heroin use. But I would like to let everybody know that should you find yourself looking to move towns, unable to crack the top 10 on Mission Pick, vexed on whether or not Elevator Gate is about Rebecca Watson or Janae Rice, then please, in your deepest, darkest moments, please don't die!